Hey, everybody. So here we are. And we are about, this is November the 6th. So we're like 3 days beyond the national elections. And we, by the time this airs, you may know, we may know who our next president is. But in the meantime, we're in limbo. And for many of us, this has been a season of uncertainty. It's been a season of anxiety. And so today, I hope that you find this word to be encouraging. I hope that in the middle of all of this, that your foundation is firmly planted on Jesus, and that your anxiety is held at bay because you know He's got you. Well, in the middle of all of this, we also find that we're dealing with a COVID situation here at Restore, and that has created this need to go back online. And we just covet your prayers in these days. Really, I mean, if I could just urge you to do anything, pray for the team here at Restore and for our community and for our world. What a difficult time we all find ourselves in. But we have a great hope, and that hope is in Jesus. And so I hope in all of this that the encouragement here is that there is a way forward, even when the way seems dark. God is with us. He is helping us. He is giving us wisdom. He's giving us insight. And so the question could be asked, in the middle of all of this, why on earth would we be starting a series on money? Well, it is called Making Change. And it is sort of about money, but at the same time, it is also about making changes in our lives. It's not just about making change with money, but rather this is another attempt at helping us to see things holistically, to see how everything we do, everything we say and do is tied together. We're less segregated than we like to think we are. It's easier to make decisions if we think that whatever I do over here doesn't apply over here, whatever I do over there doesn't affect the situation over here, when in fact, even if it doesn't physically affect each other, there is an emotional tie that connects the two because we are one person and we cannot be separated. We are a whole person. So whatever we do here impacts this over here. It may not show up for years. There may be things that happened here in this circumstance that have nothing to do with these over here until years down the road, when everything we've done back here catches up with what we're doing now over here. If we don't think that our handling of money, if we don't think that the way we live our life today, the way we handle our money today will impact our lives in the future, we should guess again. Because time after time, families, businesses, organizations, yes, even churches are ripped apart because of the love of money. Not because of money, but because of the misplaced love of money. So what's the antidote? How do we get beyond this need to love money? And conversely, how do we get beyond being stingy, keeping what is mine? Mine. That's a word that our little granddaughter Eloise, 1 year old, already knows. It's mine. How do we keep from being stingy? How do we live open-handedly with our finances? So those are some of the things we're going to tackle over the next 3 weeks. It'll be fun, I promise. We'll have a great time doing it. We're going to get some great input and get some basic handles on how we manage to live with money, but without an unhealthy love of money. We'll look for the answers to questions like, where does all the money go? How can I keep living one check paycheck behind? And how am I going to keep from dying of stress because of money matters? We may not get to answer every single question, but these are some of the themes around these weeks, and I believe it's going to be really helpful. So hang in there with us, and here we go. Today's talk, count it out. Count it out. So when I was a kid, I grew up east of Goshen, Indiana, on a little plot of land. It was a 5-acre farmette, but that 5 acres wasn't enough for my dad to keep us boys busy. And one of his hobbies was repairing Coleman lanterns. And so, as a result, he started a little Coleman shop where he sold new and repaired old lanterns. And of course, he did just about anything related to the Coleman line of products. He handled those, he repaired them, and this was my first interaction with the general public from a business standpoint. So people would stop by, they would drop off their used lanterns, and my dad would replace the mantles, or the screen, or the generator on these lanterns. Sometimes it needed a new globe, but I'd help him with those things. And when there was that spectacular moment when someone would walk in and say, "I want to buy a whole new lantern." Well, that was fun. Selling a lantern, selling mantles, this all required handling money. And so these were my first experiences, and my mom and dad were diligent, especially my mom was really diligent about the importance of counting out the change for everyone. And you didn't just put it on the counter, you put it into their hand. There were a number of things I learned because my mom stressed the significance of when someone gave you a $5 bill, for example, and the cost of their purchase was $4.56. You didn't just reach in the drawer and pull out all the change and throw it in their hand. No, you made change properly. So if the bill was $4.56 and they gave you a $5 bill, well, of course, you went to the change drawer and you got 4 pennies. That got you to $4.60, right? You add another nickel, that gets you to $4.65. Another dime, $4.75. I'm going slow for those of you who don't know how to do this, right? 4 pennies, $4.60. We started out at $4.65. Wait a second, where did we start? $4.56, 4 pennies, $4.60. Put it into their hand, add a nickel, that's $4.65. A dime is $4.75. 25 cents makes $5. Mom taught me how to count it out. But in the process, she also taught me that accuracy matters. And a byproduct of all of this was that counting the change with accuracy gave me control. It gave me confidence that I had done it correctly. And wow, does that ever make a difference? See, we can be in control of our finances, counting it out without fear, but with trust and clarity instead. Money is not bad. Despite what you may have heard, money is what we think about a lot. Money is what we talk about a lot. But despite what you may have been taught, money is not the root of all evil, but rather symptomatic of drivers that cause emotional and spiritual obstructions to changing our mindsets and our lifestyles. That's just a fancy way to say that money is used as a scapegoat, as an excuse, rather than being the actual culprit of our wayward ways. Attachment to money keeps us from actually releasing our grip on materialism and gripping Jesus wholeheartedly and embracing all that God wants to do in our lives. But here's the deal. This could be said of many other things as well. It's just that money can be used to exert power, to bring destruction, and at the same time, it can bring about some of the most wonderful things on earth. It can be used for good or evil. But Scripture never says money is the root of all evil. No, in 1 Timothy 6:10, the Apostle Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy, and he says to him, the love of money is the root of all evil. Bingo. There you go. That's what I'm talking about right there, because it's not money itself, but it is the love of money. See, when we love money more than we love Jesus, or more than our brothers and sisters, or more than joy, more than peace, more than kindness, more than faithfulness, when we love money more than we love most anything else, including God and family, in fact, when we'd sell our family down the road to ensure that our money never runs out, that is when it becomes the root of all evil. Wise and wealthy King Solomon speaks to this in what he wrote in Ecclesiastes 4:6. He says, "Better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind." In other words, in our quest for making money, it's better to have a little with peace than a lot without any balance. It's better to live in moderation and be able to enjoy the other gifts that God has given, the good things that are in our lives for our enjoyment and for our fulfillment. Workaholism, of which I know something about, is not sustainable for the long haul. So, entrepreneurs, you know what I'm talking about. But it's important to recognize the season you're in. If you need to work like crazy for a season, make it a season. Don't make it a lifestyle. You're more than the work you do or the money you make. Solomon's writings continue in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 28. He says, a person without self-control is like a city with a broken down wall. In Solomon's day, cities fortified with a thick wall, they were protected from traveling marauders. Without them, they would have been vulnerable. With them, it restricted the city dwellers. But you know what? They were happy to have them. They counted the cost. Being in control of our finances is a little bit like this too. If we are willy-nilly out of control with our money because we don't like the limits that come with self-control, well, we're just like that city with a broken down wall. We become susceptible to the traveling looters, the enemy, which has access and will attack and will destroy through those broken down walls. So don't begrudge the limitations of self-control. Think of it as a wall for defense and protection for your finances, for your family, and for your future. Now, do you see? See, making change is more than just making money. It's more than just money, because if we count the cost, if we count it out, making change becomes a holistic experience of life change. Because when we get proper perspective on money, we'll make change in our relationships. We'll see change in our attitude, in our generosity. Making change is good, and it gets better as we count it out. We count the cost and control our money instead of our money controlling us. Now, in some ways, my mom was an early adopter of sorts. You know, the kind that says, oh, something new's coming out, and I want that. I might have inherited that trait. In the household, though, she grew up in, there would have been nothing but percolated coffee. But have you ever had percolated coffee? It's kind of good if it's made over a campfire and that's all you've got, but not all the time. We've come a long way when it comes to coffee, but in the mid-60s, Taster's Choice instant coffee made it into her kitchen cupboards. I don't think it's there anymore, but it was there for a bit. TV dinners were a thing she liked for a quick meal too. Even though there wasn't a TV in the house, and frankly, even though I thought TV dinners were cool, the cool factor doesn't make up for their terrible taste. 50 years later, Taster's Choice and TV dinners aren't a thing in her house anymore. Thank God. Change has come. See, change is inevitable. The question is, will we make change before change makes us? It's our choice. Count it out, be accurate, and get control. Hey, that's it for this week. Let me pray for us, and we will join again next week, same time, same place, for week two of Making Change. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for these moments together. We believe that you are communicating with us even now, even when circumstances feel out of control, even when making change seems so difficult and frankly, so impossible. God, open our eyes like we often pray. Reveal it to us. Help us to see where we can make change in our lives. Be it in our finances, be it in our relationships, be it in our families. God, bring the change that only you can bring about. Open our eyes, help us to be creative about the way that we can manage our finances so that we can live lives that are appreciative of every aspect of all the treasures and gifts that you've given us. God, we thank you for these days. We pray for healing and restoration in our land. We pray for the leadership of our community and our nation, God, that they would find a way forward. And God, we pray against chaos. We pray against confusion. And may you ultimately reign and rule in our hearts first, and then in our community and in our land. We thank you for these moments together. And Father, I pray blessing on every family within earshot today. Give them all they need to live lives that point each other and those in our community to you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.